Today's daf is Nun Gimel. We left off last couple of words on Nun Beis Amud Beis. V'lo hayachatzer b'Yerushalayim, and there was not a courtyard in Yerushalayim. The Gemara, the Mishnah said that was not illuminated by the light of the Simchas Beis Hashoev, of the celebration in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara says Tana, top of Nun Gimel, Isha Haisa Boreres Chitim La'or Shal Beis Hashoeva. A woman was literally able to go ahead and sift through her grain from the light of the Beis HaShoeva, which is interesting. So what it's saying is that obviously sifting through the grain requires a good amount of light to be able to detect what's the impurity, what's the actual kernel of grain. There was so much light that came out of the Beis HaMikdash that even a woman who is at a distance from the Beis HaMikdash was able to use that light to sift through her grain. I will say, this is a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Chasidim Anshe Maisa. So remember, the Mishnah said that the Chasidim, the pious ones, the men of good deeds, would go ahead and would celebrate before the general populace. So this is truly remarkable. Tana Rabbanan. So the rabbis taught, Yesh Mehen Omrim, some of them would say, Ashrei Yaldu Senu, Shelo Baisha Es Ziknu Senu. Praiseworthy is our youth, that it did not embarrass us in our old age. Okay, so they were extolling the fact, you know, we'll say, so sometimes we do some things in our youth that we're not very proud of. We make amends of it, hopefully, in our old age. So the Hasidim would say, praiseworthy is our fact that in our youth we didn't do anything to embarrass us within our old age. And these are the Hasidim, Elu Hasidim. The Anshei Maisa. So the Chasidim and Anshei Maisa were the individuals whose younger lives were just as holy and just as meaningful as their older years. The Yeshmehen, there are some who would say, Ashrei Ziknu Seinu Shekapra Es Yaldu Seinu. And others said, praiseworthy is our older years because they atone for our youth. That perhaps when we were young, we did things that we're not very proud of. But Baruch Hashem, in our older years, we became a little bit wiser. And we atoned for the actions of our youth in our older years. Elu Bali Tshuva. These are Bali Tshuva. However, Elu V'Elu Omrim, but both would say, Ashrei Mi Shelo Chata. Praiseworthy is the individual who never sinned. However, Umi Shechata, whoever did sin, Yoshuv V'Yimchalo. Bless you. Shedu Tshuva, and ultimately again, he will be forgiven. Tanya, the Brisa states, Amr Alava Hillel Azokin, they said about Hillel the elder, Kishahaya Sameach, that when Hillel would celebrate B'Simchas Beis HaShoeva, during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Amr Cain, he would say the following, Im Ani Kan HaKol Kan, if I am here, everyone is here, V'im Aini Kan, and if I'm not here, Mikan, who is here? Now what does this mean? So take a look at Rashi. So Rashi points out over here, Imani kana kolkan, Dorish Haya L'Rabim. Hillel was giving a drasha for the people who were assembled, and he was telling them, Shelo yichatu b'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imani kana kolkan, kol zman sh'ani chavitz b'bayis hazeh, u'shchinasi shiru yibo, yehei kivodo kayom. So the Rei Rashi understands Hillel's statement is that the Ani is not Hillel, but rather the Ani is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imani kan, if I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rest my presence in this house, HaKol Kan, then it will indeed be a meeting place for everyone. Im Eini Kan, but if I, God, am not here, if I do not rest my presence in this place, then Mikan, then ultimately, again, who will ever assemble in this particular home? He says, Yehei Kvodo Ve'esalik Shechina, see, Miyavo Kan, if I remove my Shechina, who will come here? Furthermore, Huayo Omar, he used to say, I will say, this is you know, again, I'm just pointing out, you could spend the day just on each of these statements. I know we're going through it quickly, but over Shabbos, just think about that first Tana Rabbanon, this idea of Ashrei Yalduseinu Shela Baisha Ziknuseinu, Ashrei Ziknuseinu Shekapra Yalduseinu. Whether you maximized your early years or you didn't maximize your early years, don't miss out on maximizing the later years. However you're going to use them, whatever you're going to use them, such a profound... Okay, in any event, the Gemara goes on. Huayo Omer, for the Mahil used to say, Huayo Omer, Lamakom Shani Ohev, to the place that I love, Sham Raglai Molicho Sosi. That's where my feet take me. Now, what does that mean? So look at Rashi. Furthermore, I'm saying, let me just read one more. Im Tavo El Beisi, if you come to my home, Ani Avo El Beisecha, I'll go to your home. Im Atalo Tavo El Beisi, if you don't come to my home, Ani Lo Avo El Beisecha, I will not go to your home, Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, Bechala Mokom Asher Askir Es Shmi, Avo Elecha Uberachticha. In any place where my name will be mentioned, I will come and I will bless you. So look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Huya Omer, Lamakom Shani Ohev Sham Raglai Molicho Sosi, Im Tavo, Im Ata Tavo Lebesi, Venirali Shaaf Khan Tsarch Lagar Sakain, Mishum de Amrab Yochanan, Basra Ragloi de Bar Inish. So we'll say, Hillel seems to be saying the same thing that he was saying before. First of all, this statement of to the place that I love, that's where my feet take me. So of course, on one hand, what Hillel is referring to over here is the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, that ultimately, again, my feet bring me to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you come to my home, the Beis HaMikdash, I will come to your home. But if you don't come to my home, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not coming to your home. What does that mean? That when the Jew demonstrates a desire to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life by traveling to the Ribono Shel Olam's home, the Beis HaMikdash, the Ribono Shel Olam reciprocates that measure and comes and rests his presence in my home as well. But to both say, this idea also of Hillel, of to the place where you love, that's where your feet take you, is a very profound yisod as well. That there are subconscious drives that propel us in all kinds of directions. So what the Hillel is also saying is, a person should be self-aware. Because often people are not self-aware, and they do things, they don't realize why they do things. You have to take the time to understand yourself. Little as we try to do every morning. A person has to understand themselves, because then you'll understand the subconscious directions in which you tend to go in life. The Gemara picks up on this. The Gemara says, Af hu ra'a, not yet. Af hu ra'a golgoles. Achos shetzaf apnei amayim. Hillel saw a skull floating on the water. Now Rashi points out over here, not a body, but a skull. Rashi says, shetzaf apnei amayim, shechat ches rosho, this guy was decapitated. Vetilu lamayim, somebody threw his head in the water. Vehikir bo, shurotseach, upaga bo achshav, listen kiyotze bo, and Hillel recognized the skull. And he saw that this guy whose skull was floating, this was a murderer. So this is a person who himself was a murderer during his lifetime. And what does Hillel say? Amar le, we'll say this is actually a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Amar le, he said to the skull, al de'atfat atfucha, because you drowned others, you yourself were drowned. Umat picha yitufun, and those who drowned you will ultimately be drowned as well. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Amar le al de'atfas atfucha, al she'tzavta golgola shalachirim b'mayim, atfucha atzifoch achirim achshav, because you put others, because you drowned others, literally you allowed other skulls to float in the water, yours yourself was floated as well. L'sof matifcha yitufun, od yavo yom v'yatzifo golgolosim sha'ilu shargucha, and ultimately those who drown you will also meet their day of reckoning. What Hillel was trying to point out of Ravosa is that there is a system of justice in this world. It may not be immediate, it may not always be apparent, but at the end of the day, everyone gets what's coming to them, both l'tov as well as l'ra. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi says amazing Gemara. Ragloi debar inesh inon arvin bey. A person's legs are his guarantors. La'aser demisba'itamon. La'aser demisba'itamon movilin yosei. With the place where you need to be, they will bring you. He'll say, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara saying is that sometimes in life, we think we're going in one direction, but the truth is we're going in a totally different direction. And we're going in the direction that the Ribono Shel Olam needs us to go in, even though we think we're going somewhere else. My legs are able to take me where I need to get to. So listen to this. It's an amazing story. Hano tarti kushoi, the havakaimi kame shlomo. There were these two kushim. They're both like kushim could mean they're from Ethiopia. Kushim could mean that they were very average-looking individuals. Okay, the Gemara uses that term in different ways in different contexts. In any event, these two kushim, they were actually scribes of Shlomo HaMelech. Davakami kami Shlomo. Elicharaf v'achia b'nei shisha. So from the Shlomo. Elicharaf and achia. Okay. And what happened? Yom achad. Chazi the malach hamaves dahava ka'atziv. One day Shlomo HaMelech saw the Malach HaMavis, and the Malach HaMavis was despondent. So I guess normally the Malach HaMavis is the life of the party, right? So Shlomo HaMelech sees him, and Mamish, he seems, maybe his job is getting to him a little, you know, so he seems a little despondent. So what happens? Amrele, Amai Atzivas. So Shlomo says the Malach HaMavis knew what's wrong. So Amrele, Shlomo says, so Malach HaMavis says, you're not going to believe it. Amrele, Dikabau minai hani tarti kushoi diyasi hacha. So what happens? Because the Malach HaMavis says, you're not going to believe it. You know, I have a job. My command now is to take the neshamas of Elicharaf and Achia. It's time for Eli Charef and Achiyah to die. And I can't seem to be able to snatch their neshamas. There's something going on that's preventing me from snatching the neshamas. So the Malach HaMavos is very upset that he can't do his job. What happens? So Shlomo Malach hears this. Masrinu l'si'irim, shadrinu l'mechuzah deluz. So Shlomo Malach hears that his two scribes are in mortal danger. So what does he do? He hands them over. Rabbi says, si'irim are shadim. Himar says that Shlomo HaMelech's mastery was not over the physical world, not only over the physical world, but was also over the spiritual world, to the point that Shlomo HaMelech had control over Shadim. So he handed Eli Charef and Achiyah over to Shadim to whisk them away to the city of Luz. The Rabbi said, the Gemara Rashi quotes the Gemara Masechta Sota, that for whatever the reason, and we'll see this when we get to Sota, the Malach HaMavos did not have power over the city of Luz. In fact, the Gemara in Sota says that when the people of Luz wanted to die, comes a point in time, sounds like where a person wants to die, they would leave the walls of the city. They had to leave the walls of the city to die. So he gives over Achiyah and Eli Charef to the Shadim to take them to the city of Luz. And what happens? Kimatul mechuzah de Luz. As soon as they got to the entranceway of Luz, Shchivu. Eli Charef and Achiyah died. Okay? Lemacher chazi lemalach hamavis to have a kabadach. The next day, Shlomo Malach sees the malach hamavis and he's all smiles. Amrele, amai bedichas? Why are you smiling? Amrele, Ba'aser de ba'u minai taman shadra sinhu. Because what literally translated, because the place that I needed them to go to, Shlomo, you sent them to. Meaning, why couldn't the Malach HaMavos kill Eli Charef and Achiyah? Why couldn't he take their lives? Because Rabbi say, the way death works is, death comes at a certain time, in a certain place. And if either of those factors are not in place, l'maisa, the Malach HaMavos does not have shlita. The Malach HaMavos was lamenting, why? Because Eli Charef and Achiyah were in the palace. They weren't supposed to die in the palace. They were supposed to die by the entrance we have the city of Luz. So what is the Malach HaMavos essentially saying to Shlomo? Shlomo, you think you saved them, but in reality, you delivered them right into my hand. Miad pasach Shlomo va'amar. As a result, Shlomo Melech opened his mouth and he said, va'amar raglohi debar inish inon arvon bey. The feet of a person are his ultimate guarantors. La'aser demis bo'i tamon movilin yosei. To the place where ultimately, again, he must be, to the place where he is required to be, they bring him there. I say, such a profound yisod, that ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates events in life that get us where we need to go, even though we think, often, we're going in a different direction. Very profound. Tanya. Amru alav al Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Sefer Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kishaya sameach simchas beis hashoiva, hayonotel shmona avugos shalor, vizorek achas, vinotel achas, veinogos zubazu. So they used to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that by simchas beis hashoiva, he would juggle 8 torches of fire. And he was such a proficient juggler that one torch would never touch the other. Amazing. This is even more amazing. When he would bow down, he did this very interesting thing. He would place his two fingers, meaning he would rest himself against his two thumbs. So we'll say he did this fascinating thing, where he would begin on the ground, right? He would hold himself up by his two thumbs. So the point that he was close enough to be able to kiss the ground. And he would lift himself back up without bending his knees. So I guess using his ankles and using his calves, he would go ahead and be able to bring himself back up to an erect position. So the Gemara says, Ve'in kol ber yechol alasos kein. No one else is able to do it. Ve'zoi kida. That's called kida. Levi ach v'kida kamei de Rebbe. Rebbe once tried to demonstrate kida before Rebbe. V'itla. V'itla bosa means, and he injured himself. Literally means he became lame. He injured himself. So bless you. So the Gemara says, that's v'ha garmalei. Is it, did Levi become lame because of the kida? After all, there was another event. Rabbi Lazar said, Li'olam al yatiach adam dvarim klapei mala. A person should be very careful before they, bless you, before they hurl accusations before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, Abosai, a person has to always be careful about how they talk to the Ribono Shel Olam. Meaning, even if I'm upset, even if I'm angry, even if I'm disappointed, there's a way to voice that towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, Yatiach Yizrok Loshon Kimetechave Keshas, like slinging an arrow. Because what happens? So the Gemara says, because Shahari Adam Godel Hitiach Dvarim Klapi Mala, because there was a great man who literally, you know, flung his words towards the heaven, which means that he spoke to the Bon Shalom in a disrespectful way, Vitla, and he became lame. He was injured. Umanu, and who is that? Levi. Shabbosai, so now we see from here that Levi's injury was not a result of Kida, but rather Levi's injury was a result of a very stark conversation with the Ribono Shel Olam, to which the Gemara says, and Shabbosai, if you look at Rashi, by the way, Rashi says, Hitiach Thorm, it's the first part of line, Rashi, Mesechus Tainis, Alisa Viashavta Lachabamarom, Viatamashkiach Abanach. There were certain circumstances happening within the Jewish people, and Levi accused HaKadosh Baruch Hu of retreating into the heavens and forsaking us. So those are pretty strong words to hurl at the Ribono Shel Olam. So the Gemara understands that Levi was punished as a result of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. So it wasn't the Kida, but rather again, it was the accusatory tone when she spoke to God, to which the Gemara answers, Ha v'ha garmalei. In reality, both the Kida as well as the accusatory tone both caused the handicap of Levi. So the Gemara goes weiter. Levi, speaking about Levi, Haya mitayel kamei derebi, Bitamnie Sakini. Rebbe used to, Mataya literally means sport. It means juggle. He used to juggle 8 knives. Yeah, it's impressive. I missed that class in Smicha, but yeah, it's a good skill to have. So the Gemara says the following. I'm sorry?
That wasn't what caused him to be lame.
That was it. Correct. It wasn't that. See, went ahead and he juggled 8 knives. Sakine. Shmuel kamei shavar malka b'tamniy mazgei chamra. Shmuel used to juggle or used to balance 8 glasses of wine in front of King Shavur. Abaye kamei derava b'tamniy bei. Abaye used to juggle with 8 eggs in front of Rava. Some say it wasn't 8 eggs; it was 4 eggs. Tanya, the point the Gemara is making over here is, you know, right? The point Gemara is making over here is, you see that the Simchas Beis Hasheva was so intense that even the greatest Rabbanim were involved in it. That it was such an incredibly, almost like infectious Simcha that everyone got in on it. And things that you wouldn't normally associate with, you know, behaviors of Gedolei Yisrael, now they're doing. But why? I have to ask, why is Abaye juggling knives and Shmuel, you know, because you want to say what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring simcha to the populace. Because, you know, some people will find beautiful simcha in the Shira. Some people will find beautiful simcha in the Karbana. Some people will find beautiful simcha in just seeing the Beis HaMikdash. And some people need a little entertainment. Some people need a little entertainment. So this was the entertainment. Tanya, Amir Roshua ben Chananya. So it was another beautiful Gemara. Kishayinu smechem simchas beis hashoeva. When we used to be besimcha by the simchas beis hashoeva, lo ra'inu sheina be'inenu. We did not sleep the entire time. We did not sleep the entire simchas beis hashoeva. We also listen to this schedule. Ketzad, why? What was the schedule over Sukkis? Here was the schedule. Shari Shona Tamid Shel Shachar. The first hour in the morning, they offer the morning sacrifice. And I also remember, now it happens to be Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was a Levi. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya was a Levi, excuse me. So his situation is a little bit unique because as a Levi, remember, he was present at the different parts of the Avoda. But the truth is, this could have been the schedule for many other people other than the Leviim as well. So the first hour of the day was the Tamid Shal Shachar, was the morning Tamid. And Rabbi said, people would want to be in attendance for that Tamid. Misham le Tefillah, after the Tamid Shal Shachar, we went to Davin. Misham le Karban Mosaf, after we Davin Shacharis, we went to the Karban Mosaf. Misham le Tefillah Asam Musaf, and then we went to Davin Mosaf. So what's very interesting, by the way, so you see over here also just an interesting historical fact that what? They were davening even with the presence of Karbanos, which is very interesting. They were davening even though they were Karbanos. So yeah, Tamid Shal Shachar, Shacharis. The Musaf Tamid, or the Musaf offering, then Tfilas Musaf. Misham the Beis Medrash, from there we went to learn a little bit. Misham la Achila Ushtia, then we went to eat. Misham la Tfilas HaMincha, then we went to Davin Mincha. Misham la Tamid Shal Bein Arbaim, then we went to see the afternoon Tamid. Mikan ve'elech l'simchas Beis HaShoeva. And from there and on, we did Simchas Beis HaShoeva the rest of the night. So if you think about it, what a day. What a spectacular day. From Tamid to Shachris to Karban Musaf, from Tamid to Shachris to Karban Musaf to Musaf to Beis Medrash to lunch to Tamid Shalbein Harbayim to Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Incredible. So the Gemara says, but is this possible, Ini? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shavua Shalo Ishan Shalosh Yamim. Rabbi says, if a person takes a Shavua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, Malkin also, we give him Malkus, V'yashin Atar, and he goes to sleep immediately. Rabbi says, what does that mean? You can't take a Shavua not to sleep for 3 days, because Chazafa, it's impossible not to sleep for 3 days. Impossible. So if a person takes a Shavua not to sleep for 3 days, what we do is, that is what's called the Shavua Shav. So we do is, we punish him immediately for taking a Shavua Shav. We give him Malkus, and we put him right to bed. Now, put him right to bed doesn't literally mean that we make him go to sleep right then and there. What it's saying is that essentially we consider him already in violation of his vow. We punish him for the violation of making such a vow, and he's free to go to sleep when he pleases. So how could Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya go ahead and say that they didn't sleep for the entire Simchas Beis Shav? Impossible. To which the Gemara says, no. El hachi kamar. This is what he means. Lo ta'amnu tam shena. We did not sleep a regular sleep. Literally, we didn't taste the taste of regular sleep. Dahavu misnamnami akasva da'adadi. What happened? We dozed off on each other's shoulders. So what it means is that over the course of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, over the days of Chol HaMoed, so what we did is we dozed. So I don't know, hopefully not during davening or learning, but whenever they dozed a little bit, and they caught a little bit of a nap here, a little bit of a nap there, and that was their sleep for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva days.
Not during knife juggling,
correct. So, correct. So Gemara says, "Vayin chamesh esrei malos." Remember again, the Mishnah said that there were 15 steps between the Ezras Noshim and the Ezras Yisrael. And so the Gemara says, "Amar luhu Rav Chista lahumir abanon dahava kamisader agarta kamei." Amar le Shmiel lecha hani chamesh esrei malos kineged mirbose. So again, just to remind you, this is. Thank you, Chananya. Thank you. So we're talking about over here the 15 steps right in this area between what we call the Ezras Kohanim and Ezras Noshim. The 15 semicircle steps. Remember again, the Mishnah said that on Simcha, thank you, on the Simcha's base Sheva, they would come down on the fifth, we'll see on the 10th step, and they would go ahead and sing and play the instruments. So the Gemara says the following: Honey, Amarli, or so Rav Chista said to a certain Tam Tchachim who was arranging the Agadic teachings, Amarli Shmielacha Hani Chamesh Esrei Ma'alos Kineged Mi. Why Dafka 15? They both say in the base Hamikdash, there's a Seder for everything. Nothing is haphazard. So why is it exactly that there were 15 steps? Why not 12 steps? Why not 13 steps? So the Gemara says, connect. So remember, the Mishnah already said that it corresponds to the 15 Shira Malises that are in Sefer Tehillim. So now what Rav Chista was really asking was, why did David HaMelech say Davka 15 Shira Malises, right? Why 15? Why not 16? Why not 14? Why not 22? So the Gemara says, Amar Lehachi Am Rabbi Yochanan. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Bishah Shekara David Shisin. When David was digging out the Shisin, I will say, Rashi points out over here that this Gemara does not go according to what we learned before, because we learned before that when were the Shisin created? When Bereshis, Bara Shis, already in the beginning of time the Shis were created. Apparently, according to this man, Amar, David created the Shisin. That would be the hollow cavities that would be underneath the Mizbeach. So at the time that David was digging the Shisin, Kafa Tahoma, Uboi Lemishtefa Alma. What happened? That David apparently dug down deep, and he got to the Tahom. He got to the depths of the earth. And when he accessed the waters of the Tahom, the waters of the Tahom threatened to surge upward and to flood the earth. Amr David, Chamesh Esrei Malos, Vahoridan. So David said 15 Shira Maloses, and what happened? He was able to cause the water to sink back down into the depths. So Rav Chista said, well, if that's the case, Ihachi, Chamesh Esrei Malos, Yardos Mibayle. If that's the case, it shouldn't be 15 songs of ascents, but rather what? It should be 15 songs of descents, if that was the goal. So Amr Lei Asatam Tchachem, said Rav Chista, the truth is, Hoyovat Karta Milsahachi Yitmar. Now you just reminding me of what the real answer is. Listen to this. We'll say, this is amazing. B'shah Shekara David Shisin, meaning the Talmud Chacham apparently didn't remember the whole answer. Now he remembered the rest of it. B'shah Shekara David Shisin, when David was digging the Shisin underneath the Mizbeach, Kafa Tahoma, Uba'al Mishtafa Alma. So what happened? He accessed the Tahom, he accessed this lower area and this depth, and the waters from the Tahom threatened to overrun the world. Amar David, so David said the following, Mi ika diyada ishari lemichtav shem, Amar Beis, achaspa, v'neshadje bitahoma umanach. So David wanted to do the following thing. David wanted to go ahead and take a pottery shard, write the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the pottery shard, and throw it into the Tahom. Why? Because hopefully the Shem Hashem would cause the waters to subside. But what's the issue? The issue is, if you take a pottery shard, write God's name on it, throw it into the Tahom, what do you run the risk of? You run the risk of erasing the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So David asked, does anyone know the halacha? Are we permitted to actively erase the name of God in order to cause the waters of the Tahom to subside? Leka deka amrale midi. For whatever reason, no one wanted to say anything. I will say, it's interesting, by the way, according to some approaches, Rashi actually brings this down, according to some approaches, that this pottery shard, the reason why the waters of the Tahom apparently began to bubble up was because David, in his excavations of the Shishin, there was a pottery shard with the name of Hashem that was kind of like the cap on the Shishin. David disturbed the cap. So that he realized now that what was required, again, obviously, however to understand all of this, but he understood that to go ahead and cause the waters to subside, he once again needed the pottery shard. The Shiloh was, can he actively write the name on the shard? Writing the name is not the problem. But can he write the name, throw it into the water, cause the name to be erased? So what happens? Veleka de ka'amrle midi. For whatever reason, no one wanted to answer. Amr David, David's getting a little upset. He says, "Called the Yadul Amimar Ve'ino Omer Yichanik Bigrono. Whoever knows an answer and doesn't say anything should choke. Should choke." Meaning, what David is saying is, you know, essentially, come on. You know, what's? I don't say there's not a time for humility. If you know what the answer is, please come forward. So Nasa Achitofel Kavachomer Batzmo. Achitofel. I will say Achitofel was David's Rebbe. Achitofel was David's Rebbe, and Achitofel made a Kavachomer. What was the Kavachomer? Uma Lasos Shalom Bein Ish LeIshto. Amra Torah Shmi Shenichtav Bikdusha Yimacha Alamayim. So Achitofel said the following. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to make shalom between a husband and wife, I, God, allow my name to be erased in water. What is he referring to? Sota. Sota, that the Sota process, remember, is you take Parashah Sota, which has the Shem Hashem, you erase it in water, the woman drinks that water, and ultimately determines if she committed adultery or not. So if, for the sake of making shalom between a couple, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows his name to be erased, so la'asos shalom l'chala olam kulo alachas kama v'kama, then certainly to make shalom, right, to literally bring about peace for the entirety of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow his name to be erased. Amar lei shari. Therefore, Achitofel paskind, it's permitted. It's permitted. Take the pottery shard, write the name of God on it, drop it into the Tahom, and let's cause the waters to subside. So what happens? Kasav Shem Achaspa. So David HaMelech listened to his Rebbe, Vishadi Latahoma, and he went ahead and he threw it into the depths. Vinochis Tahoma Shisar Alfi Garmidi. And the waters retreated 16,000 amos beneath the earth's surface. Okay. So what happened? Ki chazi dinochis tuva. So now there was a problem. When David saw that the waters retreated so much, Amar Kama Dimidli Tve Mirtav Alma. We need the waters to be a little bit closer to the earth's surface. Why? Because the closer to the earth's surface, the more moist the soil is. And the more moist the soil is, the more fertile the ground will be. Apparently now the water retreated too much to the point that the soil would become more arid and dry and would compromise the fertility of the soil. So what happened? What is David? Listen to this. Amar Chamesh Esrei Ma'alos. David sings 15 Shir HaMalos. Remember what I was supposed to say. We always wonder about this. What does it mean, a song of ascent? Oh, now we understand. What is David HaMelech trying to do with these Shir HaMalos? He's trying to bring up the water. He's trying to cause the water to now, again, the same water that he just sent down 16,000 amos, he's trying to bring back up Shir HaMalos, come back up water. Va'aske, and what happens, Rabbi Osai? Each Shir HaMalos was able to bring up the water 1,000 amos. Va'aske chamesar alfei garmidi. He was able to bring the water up 15,000 amos from the Tahom, and therefore establish the water at 1,000 amos below the soil surface. And I will say again, that allowed, on one hand, to avoid the risk of the water flooding the world. On the other hand, it was in close enough proximity to the soil that the soil would receive some of its moisture. Amr Ula. Ula said, Shemamina, we learn from here, Sumcha da'ara, Alfi Garmidi. We learn from here that what? That the thickness of the earth's surface until you hit water is 1,000 amos. But you must want to say, but that's not true. V'ha'cha zinon, de'parinon purta, v'nafkimaya. But yet we see in some places, and they're referring specifically over here in Bavel, that you only have to dig a little bit, and what? And you strike water. To which the Gemara says, oh, Amarav Masharshia, Hahu Misuma de Prat. That is referring to the ladder of the Euphrates. I will say what Rashi points out over here is that the Euphrates had many tributaries, and Euphrates also was there's a word for it. It goes at certain levels. It's a technical term. Okay, it goes at certain meaning. It elevations. It changes different elevations and different spots, and therefore again lemaisa. And therefore lemaisa. You're right. In different geographical places, you will be able to get water at different amounts of digging. But lemaisa, leaving aside the ladder, what the Gemara calls the ladder of the Euphrates, the stam is 1,000 amos until one would strike water. Okay, Moses, it just gives you a new appreciation just for the Shira Malasas. You know, we say these tilim so often. These are the Shira Malas, the song of ascent. David HaMelech trying to reestablish. Moses, I think also this Gemara, just as an aside, is such an incredible metaphor in life. You know, life is all about finding the right balance. It's all about the balance. You know, sometimes if you push things too far away, that's not. If they're too close, it's not good. If it's too far away, it's not good. It's all about finding that medium. And the amazing part is that what makes great people great is that they're able to find balance in life. That's, I think, because water is a very symbolic thing. Water represents Torah. Water represents life. So it could very well be just almost like on a metaphorical, hashkafic level, David HaMelech is struggling over here to find balance with the mayim in life. So it begins overrunning his life. Then he pushes it, because remember, Mayim could represent Torah. Mayim also represents material wealth. So it begins flooding his life. That's not good. So what does he have to do? He banishes it. But if you become an ascetic, if you're too far away from it, that's not good either. So he needs to establish through the Shemas, through the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this healthy relationship with the Mayim, keeping it in proximity that he could utilize it in a beneficial way, but that it doesn't overrun him. You'll think about it over Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Amdu Kohanim Bishar Elyon Shiyores. Remember again, what did the Mishnah say? The Kohanim stood in the upper gate. Bari Rabbi Yirmiyah. And both say the Mishnah said that they stood on the 10th step. So the Gemara says Bari Rabbi Yirmiyah Lemala Asiris Dinachis Chamisha VeKaya Asara. Oh Dilma Dinachis Asara VeKayich Achamish. So both say it says they stood on the 10th step. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they walked down 10 steps and stood on the 5th step? Or does it mean that what? Or does it mean that they walked down 5, 10? I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Denochis chamisha v'kayas. Or does it mean that they walked down 5 steps and stood on the 10th step? Or does it mean that they walked down 10 steps and stood on the 5th step? So I'm trying to understand what does it mean the 10th step, which the Gemara says, teku. Emir Tzashem, when the Beis Hamikdash is back, we'll see. So the Gemara goes, Vaitu, Tana Rabbanan, Mimashva Shenemar. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah also, and this was a strange part of the Mishnah. Remember again, the Mishnah said that when the sun would come up, what would happen? When the sun would come up, they would be going through the gates, and when they would come out, Hafchu Paneim, Mimizrach Lamarav. So as they were going out of the gates, they would turn their faces from east to west, and it was like a tefillah, and they would say, Avosinu Shai B'makom Hazeh, our ancestors were in this place, Acharei Malahechal, Upneim Kedma, Umishtachlim Kedma L'Shemesh. Our ancestors who were in this place, they turned their backs to the west, to the Beis HaMikdash, and faced towards the east, i.e. they are worshipping the sun, and turned their back on God. But we pledge our allegiance to God. So says the Gemara the following. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, So the Gemara says, the fact that we know that they faced eastward, does that not tell us that their back was to the Beis HaMikdash? So people say, why do you have to say that they faced eastward and their back was to the west of the Beis HaMikdash? We know if they're facing east, their back is to the west of the Beis HaMikdash. What is it saying? Rather, what does it mean that their back was to the temple of God? Malamid shahayu porin atzman. It means, Rabbosa, that not only did they turn their back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather, when they turned their back on the Beis HaMikdash, they would defecate in the direction of the Beis HaMikdash. So they not only would they turn their back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only would they go in and worship the sun, but they would literally disparage God through this obviously inappropriate behavior. Anu l'ka u'l'ka inenu. So remember again, the Mishnah said, we are to you, and to you, God, are our eyes. Ini, can you actually say this? V'hamar Rabbi Zera, kala omer shema shema, ki'ilu amar modim modim. So Rabbi said, remember again, there's a halacha that says the following. Let's say, I love Shema. So what happens? I want to say Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Chal, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kino, Shema Chal. I want to say Shema over and over. You can't. Or a person wants to say modim modim. You can't. Why? Because it looks like that you are speaking to two divine entities. And I'm not allowed to give even the impression of any kind of dualism or any type of polytheistic worship. So the Gemara says, this phrase over here should be problematic. Why? Because when you say, Anu l'ka l'ka inenu, you're saying ka, you're saying the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu twice. Remember, we'll say the only time we actually say the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu twice is where? Right, by the Yud Gimel Midos. And the reason we do it there is why? Because the Ribono Shel Olam gave us that formulation. I'm saying, okay, that God gave us. I'm not going to ask a kash on God. But again, as far as I'm concerned, anything that man is going to create, any tefillos from man's perspective, ultimately should only have one reference to God. So how can you say this tefillah? To which the Gemara says, Elahachi Amri. Rather, this is what they used to say in the Beis HaMikdash. Heima Mishtachavim Kedma. Our ancestors used to worship towards the east. Va'anu Lika. And we, to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we give thanks. And our eyes look towards you. So explains Rashi, I will say, each of these phrases is a different independent phrase. When you have a different independent phrase, you could use the name of God in rapid succession because you're making two different statements. In my first statement, I'm saying to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am Oda, I admit to you, I praise you. And in the second phrase, I'm saying, my eyes look to you. Because they're two different phrases, it's clear that I'm speaking about the same divine entity, just again giving praise in two different ways. And that's okay. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, since I'm saying really two different things, and I'm mentioning God's name in two different contexts, and it's not saying God's name twice about the same thing, therefore it's no problem to mention the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu twice. Good. Mishnah. Ein pochasin me'asrim va'achos tekiyos mishnah. We'll say another very interesting Mishnah. You don't blow less than 21 tekiyos in the Beis HaMikdash. So no less than 21. Ve'in mosifin al arba'im u'shmona b'chol yom. And there are no more than 48 blasts every single day. Listen to this. I'm sorry. Ve'in mosifin al arba'im u'shmona b'chol yom hayu sham esrim va'achos tekiyos b'mikdash. On a regular day, there were 21 shofar blasts in the Beis HaMikdash. 21 tekiyos in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what were they? Shalosh lepsichas sharim. So three tekiyos were blown when they opened the gates in the morning. V'teisha l'tamid shal shachar. Then another nine for the tamid shal shachar. Another nine for the morning tamid. V'teisha l'tamid shal bein arbayim. And then another nine for the tamid shal bein arbayim. Ubu musafin. Hayom osifin oteisha. And Rabbi Osai, and by the musaf, they would add another nine. Be'erev Shabbos hayu mosifin shesh. And on Erev Shabbos, there would be another six blasts. Shalosh lehavtil asami malacha. So I will say again, we saw this in Shabbos. Three shofar blasts that tell the people to stop working. V'shalosh lehavtil ben kodesh lechol. And another three to tell the people that it was Shabbos was time. Look at Rashi, I will say for just a moment, this is really beautiful. Shlosh lehavtil asami malacha. So we learned this in the parak of Bamemad Likin. The Rabbi will say there would be three shofar blasts that were sounded to remind the people time to wind down, actually time to close your stores. Time to close your stores and stop doing malacha. Bein Kodesh L'chol, Rashi says, Kishekidesh Hayom. Then there was another, in fact, we'll say, remember the Gemara Masechet Shabbos actually brought down that according to some, there was actually an earlier set of kolos as well, but the Mishnah's not making mention of those. So the first set was to tell people, yeah, you should close up shop, come home from work. Second set were to tell you, being called Shechol, Rashi says, Kishekidesh Hayom, Lohodia Shechashecha, to tell the people that Shabbos is mamish starting, that nightfall is about to come. V'yesh me'ata chiyuf skila b'melacha, and to remind people that now you really have to stop working. So remember, like the first set was kind of like you really should stop working, right? Shabbos is getting close. Please wind down. Second stop was you really need to stop working because if you don't, again, death penalty will be upon you soon. No. Before Shabbos, it's all before Shabbos. And the truth is, what's interesting about this is the Gemara Masechet Shabbos seems to indicate that this was blown even bigvulin. This was blown even outside of the Beis Hamikdash, but apparently at least in Beis Hamikdash they did it as well. So the Gemara goes weiter. What happens? So shalosh lipsia. I'm sorry. Shalosh lahavdil bekolish shachol erev Shabbos shebesoch achakn. Rabosai. Now what happens when erev Shabbos during Yom Tov? Erev Shabbos during Yom Tov, and this is really erev Shabbos in Sukkis. So erev Shabbos Sukkis. So we'll say, apparently, the largest number of shofar blasts that were blown throughout the year in the Beis HaMikdash was on Erev Shabbos Sukkis, because there you had 48 blasts. And you see, again, from the opening line of the Mishnah, 48 blasts is the maximum number of shofar blasts that you're going to have in the Beis HaMikdash. What were they? Shalosh lepsichas sharim. So three of them ultimately, again, were for the opening of the gates. Now the mission is going to go through the day of Erev Shabbos Sukkis. Three shofar blasts for opening the gates in the morning. Shalosh l'shara elyon v'shalosh l'shara tachton. I'll say, remember, now we had this before. Now we're going to go through the different shofar blowings for the Nisach HaMayim. Remember, they would go ahead and they would blow three blasts by the upper gate, three blasts by the lower gate, shalosh l'milui HaMayim, three blasts when they would go ahead and what? Fill up the water for the Nisach HaMayim. V'shalosh al gabim Mizbeach, another three blasts when they would go ahead and pour the water on the Mizbeach. Teisha l'tamish shal shachar, nine blasts for the tamish shal shachar. V'teisha l'tamish shal bein arbaim, another nine blasts for the tamish shal bein arbaim, for the afternoon tamid. V'teisha l'musafin, and another nine for carbon musaf. Shalosh, now I'll say, so those are all, that what you had over there were the set of blasts for the Nisach HaMayim, the set of blasts for the regular order of the day of Yom Tov, and now remember, it's also Erev Shabbos. So what happens? Another three blasts, shalosh l'haftil ha-sa'amin ha-malacha, three blasts to get the people to stop doing malacha, v'shalosh l'havdil bein kodesh l'chol, and three blasts to go ahead and make a distinction between kodesh l'chol, meaning the final three blasts of the day, which were the three blasts to get the people to stop doing malacha, because Shabbos was upon them. Says the Gemara, masnisin delo k'Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda. How so, Rabosai? Disanya, because the Braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Hapoches lo yifchos misheva, v'hamosif lo yosif al sheshase. So we'll say this is very interesting. So Rabbi Yehuda says, because the minimum amount of shofar blasts in the Beis HaMikdash are seven, and the mosif, you should not blow more than 16. So we'll say this obviously stands in contradistinction to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said the minimum was 21 and the maximum was 48. So see here, Rabbi Huda is saying what? The minimum is 7 and the maximum is 16. So you see, the Mishnah is not afraid of you. Rabbi Huda, to which the Gemara says, no. But my kamiflagi, here's the difference. Rabbi Huda Savar, I'm sorry. This my kamiflagi, Rabbi Huda Savar, Tikia trua tikia achasi, v'rabbanan savri tikia lechod utrua lechod. Rabbi said, this is very interesting. So Mar says, in fact, they agree. They agree in principle about the number of blasts blown. They just disagree on what? As to how to number the blasts. According to Rabbi Yehuda, every tikia trua tikia, which is three sounds, it comprises, in fact, what? One unit. So therefore, Rabbi said, according to the Rabbanan, every tekiah, every trua, and every tekiah are independent sounds. So we'll say, in fact, they're not arguing at all. Why? Because what did Rabbi Huda say? What's the minimum number of sounds, according to Rabbi Huda? Seven. What did the Mishnah say with the minimum number of sounds? are 21, right? So remember, Rabbosai, Rabbi Huda is saying 7, but his 7 is really comprised of 21 sounds. See, he's just reckoning Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah as one unit, whereas the Mishnah is reckoning it as independent units. According to Rabbi Huda, the maximum number of sounds is what? Maximum number of sounds was, according to Rabbi Huda, 16. According to the Mishnah, 48, 3 times 16. So in reality, they're saying the same thing, meaning at the end of the day, you're blowing the same number of sounds. The machlokas is just how to categorize those sounds. So the Gemara says the following, my time is Rabbi Huda. What is Rabbi Huda's logic? Meaning, why does Rabbi Huda hold that tekiah, trua, tekiah is in fact one unit? And look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, achasi, mitzvah achasein, v'chada chashiv lehu. That Rabbi Yehuda holds, and Rabbi said, what's going to come out of this is very important. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the definition, let me see what's happening over here. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the definition of tekiah is tekiah trua tekiah. There is no tekiah without a tekiah trua tekiah. Otherwise, what is it? What is a tekiah without a tekiah trua tekiah? Right?
Nothing.
Nothing. You might as well be playing the kazoo. You know, whatever it is, it's irrelevant. It is not biblically or halachically significant. And that's Rashi saying over here that the mitzvah of shofar. And it's not, by the way, when we say shofar, we're not talking about Rosh Hashanah over here. We're talking about again based on mikdash is tekiah trua tekiah. And if that unit is deficient, that is an irrelevant sound. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says my time to Rabbi Huda. What's Rabbi Huda's logic? Amar Krak, as the pasuk says. Utekatem trua, because the pasuk says you shall. Now, what's interesting over here is the pasuk says utekatem trua. So tekatem trua does what? It's merging to tekatem. Tekiah is one thing, trua is another thing. So what does Rabbi Huda understand? So first of all, it says tekatem trua. Uksivina also says trua yisku. It also says what? It also says the trua you shall blow. Now, what's interesting about this? What's interesting about this is, it says, utekatem trua, and it says, trua yisku. So it's two things. First of all, what do you see? The Torah is juxtaposing the concept of trua and tekiah. And not only that, what else is the Torah doing? The Torah is also going ahead and sandwiching trua between what? Between tekiah. So the fact that the Torah links the concepts, or links the sounds of trua and tekiah, leads Rabbi Huda to believe that the core definition of tekiah must include a trua. So the Gemara says, "Haketzad tekiah utrua." I'm sorry, "Haketzad." Therefore, how do you understand this? Tekiah utrua achasi. It must be that the sounds of tekiah and trua are in fact one sound. V'rabbanon, what do the Rabbanon do with this? And when we say one sound, means that those sounds comprise one mitzvah. V'rabbanon, what do the rabbis do with this? And the rabbis obviously disagree with this. And the rabbis understand that tekiah and trua and tekiah are all separate sounds. So what do the Rabbanon do with these psukim? Hahu lipshuta lefanehal ulacharehu da'asa. No. You know what that pasuk comes to teach us? That pasuk doesn't come to teach us that the definition of tekiah requires a trua. What that teaches us is that a trua must have a pshuta. Pshuta means what, Rabosai? A straight, flat sound which represents the tekiah. That the trua must have a tekiah before it and a tekiah after it. V'Rabbi Yehuda, lefaneh ulacharah minole nafkale. Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn out this idea that a trua must have a tekiah in front of it and after it? He learns out from the pasuk mishenis. Okay, v'Rabbanan my tamayim. So Rabosai, so now we understand Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda's logic is the fact that the Torah always discusses tekiah and trua in juxtaposition to one another indicates to us what? That these sounds are in fact a unit. And what is the unit? The unit is a tekiah, a trua, and a tekiah afterwards. That is the unit. And that unit, that three sound unit, really halachically represents one unit of sound. What's the logic of the Rabbanan? Why do the Rabbanan treat tekiah and trua separately? V'Rabbanan my tamayu d'chsev. Because Rabbanan say the pasuk says, "Ubahakil esakal tisku velo tariu." Well, it's very interesting because the pasuk over here says that when you gather the nation, speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, when you gather the nation, when you Moshe want to speak to the nation and you want to address them, how do you gather them? Tisku velo tariu. You shall blow a tekiah, but not a trua. So what do the Rabbanan see from here, Rabbosai? What do they see from here? The Rabbanan see from here that a tekiah is separate than a trus. You both say, here's what's interesting. The Rabbanon are not going to argue on Rabbi Huda's assertion that you have to blow a unit of sound. And the unit of sound is a tekiya, a tru, and a tekiya. What they're arguing about is that the definition of an individual unit of sound. The Rabbanon say that even a tekiya is a unit of sound by itself. How do we see that? Varai, when Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the people, what did he blow? Or what did he have blown? He had blown a tekiya. So you see from there that a tekiya is a stand-alone sound. To which the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, Rabbanu Ma'at Ma'atikziv Ubakiyazam Tiskulotir Ev Isakudaitcha Tkiya Trua Achasi. And if you would think that a tekiya and a trua, that only a tekiya trua tekiya is one unit of sound, and a tekiya by itself is deficient, Amar Rachmana Palga the mitzvah of it, or Palga lo of it. Rabbosai, if the real unit of sound was a tekiya, a trua, and a tekiya, then could it be that God would have commanded Moshe to do a partial mitzvah? Then God should have commanded Moshe to do what? When you want to assemble the people, what should you do? What should you do? Blow a tekiya, a tru, and a tekiya. Blow the whole unit of sound. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu only blew a tekiya, these are important to understand that the tekiya itself is a bona fide unit, individual unit of sound. And there, so what does Rabbi Huda do with this? But Rabbi Huda says, no, that's not a good raya. Hahu l'simna ba'almahu. You can't bring a raya from that. Why? Because why was Moshe Rabbeinu blowing that tekiya? That tekiya was to gather the people. That was not a tekiya of mitzvah. That was not a tekiya of avodah. It wasn't a tekiya of sacrificial service. It wasn't a tekiya of service of Kodesh Baruch Hu. What was it? It was a tekiya of gathering. You can't bring a raya. Look at Rashi. Hu l'simna ba'almahu. Hahi tekiya. Shehi lahakila kal ena elele simin. That tekiya, which was only blown to gather the people, was only supposed to be a gathering sign. Kishahaya Moshe wrote to the dabra aleim the ena mitzvah. The goal there was a gathering sign. That was not what's called the blowing of a mitzvah. No, that doesn't make sense. That wasn't called a mitzvah blowing. Doesn't make sense either. It wasn't considered to be a tekiya, a blowing of kolos for mitzvah purposes, but rather, again, it was only for gathering purposes. So, most of you have to say what Rabbi Huda is saying. You can't bring me a raya from how Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the people to speak to them. That is a utilitarian blowing of the shofar for the sake of gathering. You have to look at mitzvah circumstances. So what did Rabbanan say? Rabbanan say, you're right. Rabbanan simdahu, you're right. It was only a symbolic gathering of. It was only a simon, not a symbolic, but it was only a blowing to be able to gather the people. However, v'rachmana shavye mitzvah. But Rabbanan say, here's the issue: the fact that God gave him this command, by definition, makes it into what? Makes it into a mitzvah. Therefore, even though, again, the purpose of this blowing was only for gathering the people, but since it was divinely commanded, it has the status of a mitzvah. Because it has the status of a mitzvah, it has the right to serve as a mitzvah paradigm. Therefore, say the Rabbana, what's the mitzvah paradigm that's created over here? That even a tekiya by itself will be a bona fide unit of sound. And therefore, again, Rabbana, going back to the Mishnah, that's why the Rabbana say, when we count the number of kolos blown in the Beis HaMikdash, we count every unit of sound individually. Every tekiya, trua, and tekiya as different sounds, even though we agree that you have to blow a tekiya, trua, tekiya. But from this episode of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's clear that every unit of sound is reckoned individually. Rabbi Huda disagrees. Rabbi Huda says, no, lemaisa, the fact that tekiya and trua are juxtaposed in the text, that indicates to us that the units of sound are counted as one tekiya, trua, tekiya is one unit of sound, and this gathering of Moshe is not a raya. Why? Because it's not a tekiya shal mitzvah, simply a tekiya of gathering. All right, we're going to stop over here.
Rabbi Huda, what's the difference?